Chapter 20. One and all. Passion, uniqueness, and the collective. I think the biggest disease the world suffers from in this day and age is the disease of people feeling unloved. I know that I can give love for a minute, for half an hour, for a day, for a month, but I can give. I am very happy to do that. I want to do that. Princess Diana. Hidden behind words like everyone, no one, people, and the world is a felt sense of a secret audience. This boundless audience is watching us, even in our private moments. Can you feel it? Do you feel yourself watched? Can you sense your audience? What kind of relationship do you have with it? It's complicated. So goes the ambiguous relationship status on Facebook, which is an online epicenter of likes and dislikes, and virtual negotiation and strife between the individual and the collective. In a way, we are all performers on a stage of consciousness. Moment by moment, we share our process with the whole. But this invisible audience does not disappear when we snap shut our laptop and roll over to sleep. It follows us into the neverland of dreams. It can feel like it is checking our progress, monitoring our development, or waiting for us to get to the point. Sometimes it is with us, but often it can feel against us. This audience has the power to approve of us or lynch us. It can appear as a boundless minefield of judgment, in which human striving is reduced to a pursuit of acceptance and an avoidance of rejection. It's that same principle again of going for the pleasure and wanting to dump the pain. Only now it's being played out through grandiose projections on the stage of the world. The show must go on. In this no man's land where there is a perceptive space to see and be seen, to listen and be heard, to feel and be felt, to touch and be touched. We have many wounds around manifestation. When passion arises through us and we begin to express quality energy directly into the world, the pain in these wounds can enter the foreground of conscious awareness. Paradoxically, just when we are beginning to share the essential qualities of true nature with the whole, we can suffer the most intense loneliness, with the sense of being ignored, rejected, or even despised. Our audience can seem vindictive, intolerant, punishing, or loveless. It can feel like the very notion of our belonging in this collective energetic interchange is offensive. Sorry, this club is for men only. Look at the sign, blacks go to the back of the bus. The apprehension of rejection can be even more personal, as these universal qualities are shining through the unique prism of our individual form. They are personal. And as they are sourced beyond the most private depths of ourselves, they are also intensely intimate. Struggling with esteem, we feel worthless and sometimes reach back into the world for proof of legitimacy through status, qualification, or certification. When we still feel unvalued, it can trigger a horrible pain of injustice. It is as if the world is stealing our birthright from us. It's so unfair. It's because it's a man's world, an English-speaking world, or a world of white privilege. Choose your excuse. All this could be revealed with a felt sense of an audience that is watching us. with an attitude that directly reflects our personal wounds around passion. For some, the audience will be full of thieves waiting to steal their ideas. For others, the audience will be uninterested, deliberately ignoring every word. Mostly in the initial stages of passion, the audience can be felt as hostile. This is a healing process in which that sense of hostility toward a vindictive world can move to compassion. It begins when we find the shared passion with our audience. We will find that shared passion when we begin to realize that this audience, this outer self-awareness, is a primary split made within our own psyche. Both the awareness on the inside and the awareness on the outside is our awareness. It is one awareness. The vast audience is our collective self, awakening as the whole. Through the realization that outer is inner and inner is outer, we become further liberated in our feeling capacity. This is because we are no longer investing in the energy of denial that we use to partition experience. We move even more freely away from energetic habits of grasping and aversion based on mentally dictated divisions and awaken as the consciousness of wholeness or the wholeness of consciousness. When the vibrations of the felt sense, such as feelings and emotions, are no longer labeled as only personal, we can recognize that they are at once personal and at the same time collective. The individual lives through the collective, and the collective lives through the individual. For example, the vibratory pain of separation that moves in us is inseparable from the pain of separation in the whole human field. We can find oneness in the pain of separation. Even the deepest horror of abandonment is a collective horror, a collective dimension of suffering at the base of the one human psyche, at the same time that it is uniquely felt through us within the personal story. The suffering in us is inseparable from the suffering in all humanity. This includes not only the suffering in which we are the victim, but also that in which we are the perpetrator. For example, the pain of being hated and the pain of hating. Subject and object melt into a vibratory field that is here between us and within us. When we are no longer compelled into reactivity toward vibrations of pain, we are free to experience them. This means we no longer get caught and entangled with vibrational atmospheres. For example, with the atmosphere of neglect, we are no longer compelled to identify with it and to try and get rid of it by discharging it from the separate self. Where we were previously identified and suffered being neglected, we have developed some resilience, some insight, and access to healing resources. We deeply know what the suffering of neglect needs. This means that through passion, we have the chance to switch tracks from suffering to service. Now, rather than shrinking within the suffering of neglect, we can channel a resource toward the suffering. In the case of neglect, this would often be a resource of care and freedom. This happens spontaneously, but can be empowered through conscious alignment. We care because we are aware. We are free because we can open our hearts to the field of pain. These energies touch the field of neglect and the individuals caught within it. There is a sentient benefit to the whole, including any leftover areas of neglect within our own psyche. The memory of neglect remains, but the sense of isolation, hopelessness, and despair is relieved. Where there was conflict, there is now togetherness and a supportive presence of peace. Where there was separation between an individual and the whole, there is now a conscious affirmation of unbreakable underlying unity. We long for this unity, and where there is a free flow of passion from the core of individuality out, we affirm this unity. The collective is elevated through the passion moving through the individual. The whole morphic field can begin healing through the sum of its parts. When the collective is invective, this is all well, but what happens when the collective moves with denial, cruelty, violence, and rage, sweeping away the individual freedom and demanding another kind of unity? What's going on when the collective demands conformity toward a unified agenda, and tyrants and despots whip up what appears as the passion of the collective? What do we do in a groundswell of lynching, hate, or war? Don't these collective evils show us just why we should avoid passion, lest it become collective? Shouldn't we then seek a separate self to save our souls? Shouldn't we then shun evil with the strength of morality and codes of ethics? Contrary to chapter 19 of this book, shouldn't we let ourselves judge, even if it means standing alone? Wouldn't we be justified in the deepest sociopathy? From the micro to the macro, from individual to collective, this is the confusion that leads us to critical disempowerment. The manipulation of the collective field of disowned emotion, such as rage, hate, and jealousy, is not passion, but collective release. It is not a deep care and responsibility for suffering behind such movements, but a collective groundswell of emotional disenfranchisement. Each time we refuse to acknowledge a resonance in our own consciousness, out of fear or shame or blame, or just horrible discomfort, we avert our consciousness from it. The resonance does not disappear. It seethes beneath the threshold of consciousness. When we do that collectively, there are whole collective pools of rage, hatred, jealousy, and despair. These seek release in the safest possible way, without the risk of personal rejection from the herd. If we can find conditions where these emotions are framed as good and righteous, then releasing them can feel empowering. The collective field offers such a possibility. When two or more are joined in a thought or an emotion, when a critical amount of people in a whole nation join up to a field of denial, righteous rage or hatred, many others will be energetically recruited. They will experience the same rage or hatred directly, as if it were their own. The collective becomes intensely personal, and the old personal grievances are suddenly endorsed by the power of the collective. Collective emotional consensus can be compelling to the individual psyche, moving it beyond rationality, decency, and the natural ethics of the heart. The individual can become a channel through which disowned collective horrors are released. The deepest taboos within these collectively disowned emotions, the darkest of the shadows, involve the active principle, the perpetrator. While we are all victims of cruelty, who would touch the perpetrating energetic experience of being the abuser? Who can touch the sphere of suffering in which we find the inner sadist or the unthinkable wrong? Wouldn't we rather murder ourselves through suicide than admit to the inner murderer? Our vulnerability to the sways and throes of collective disowned emotion and the manipulation of these energies by tyrants is a direct result of our inner inability to take emotional responsibility. Where we do not own the resonance within our consciousness, that emotional energy becomes available for outer manipulation. The responsibility vacuums in the psyche are the entry points for psychopaths to engineer, control, and possess us. It is precisely because we cannot own the individual energy of sadism that the collective sadism possesses us. It is because of our disposal of the core pain of evil that the outer evil enchants us. When we refuse to acknowledge our power, the active principle of perpetration, then we become servants to collective perpetration. We get emotionally driven by the psycho-spiritual disorder of the whole. This is a disorder in which we are limited to a psychology of war. It is kill or be killed, us or them, with us or against us, hero or traitor. Nothing on this planet, including the full force of collective man, has the power to separate us from our true nature and the unity that is inherent to the source of all we are. As Krishnamurti said, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. To realize that the separate self is not ultimately real but is an expression of pain is to move from the suffering of social conformity into the deeper, integral quality of the authority of true nature. All over the mammalian brain there are mirror neurons. These are the neurons of experiential resonance, sometimes called empathy neurons. When these neurons were first discovered, they were understood in physical terms. When the monkeys in the laboratory saw the scientist eating, the neurons fired as if the monkeys themselves were eating. The transpersonal resonance is there, and we respond to it. We experience what we witness, as if we were the one doing it. But this is not just physical. It is also emotional and spiritual. We have the free possibility of blending in firsthand with any experience in our environment. In any given moment, we could attune to an endless range of vibrations, from affliction in a tied-up dog through to the sense of infinity in the sky above us. There is a natural freedom here, but we get caught where we have issues, where there is unfinished business, where there is conflict, or in those fields of resonance where we lose our compassion. Where we lose our compassion, we also lose our freedom to attune. For example, if we believe everything is allowed except the death of children, then with the death of children, we lose our compassion. The universe in that moment becomes evil, together with nature, God, and any ruling authority. We get caught in the field of resonance in such a way that we can no longer meet it. Our awareness forbids this pain because it is not allowed. But now we lose our attunement, so we resonate with this pain everywhere. In the death of a baby ant, a young tree, a news headline, or a spoken word that even hints at it. When we see a propaganda poster showing a baby on a bayonet, we are ready to bomb whole cities of the enemy, including man, woman, and child. Through our core pain, on the strength of the collective, we become perpetrators of the very pain we refuse to feel. Passion as the affirming flame. Passion is the alchemical quality through which the vitality of core pain expresses as an offering to the well-being of the whole. Passion gives us the power to stay as the resource of true nature, even amid emotional turbulence. Passion can offer a ferocious love and make us perpetrators of care. It dissipates fear and takes the vitality from any emotion and offers it in service to the collective well-being. The collective well-being is responsive, empowering us back from the outside in. The swell of collective emotion is undercut by a deeper current arising from that inner dimension where the individual and the collective are one. The power of emotional consensus is dispelled through a deeper power, the pure quality of power, arising with the unnegotiable strength and wisdom of passion. Out of this core dimension, it is known that as a human being, I am every human being, and I am the one human being. In this, the greater depth, wisdom, power, and responsibility emerges. We become an affirming flame, as in the famous poem of W.H. Auden, written at the outbreak of World War II. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them, of eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. The resource of true nature offers source magic that always outlasts the voodoo of tyrannical leaders. In the place of freedom of expression, passion offers freedom itself. In the place of the righteous rage, it offers the fire of truth. Beneath the urge to control, it offers the fearless power of all creation. Beyond the helpless energy of destruction, it brings existential energy that is indestructible. Beneath the compulsion to release emotion, it offers the unconditional release of unfettered, boundless awareness. Non-dual qualities are naturally expansive and are resonantly closer to true unity. When emotional crisis can make the abyss a formless dimension of evil, true nature opens an unfettered dimension of emptiness, which is a field of infinite creative possibility. Here, there are the core sufferings, including the suffering of evil. But also here is boundless mercy, peace, freedom, love, and unity. Both the individual story and the collective history lose authority as true passion emerges. This passion is sourced behind the suffering of time. Even death has no power over passion. It is sourced beyond the lostness of space. Even pure absence is passion's playground. The passion lives on, even after the body has lost separate form, stirring in every expression of life, whatever its form. This passion offers the realization of unity at the center point of wisdom, and this allows the navigation of the collective malaise through a compassion that will liberate the whole.